not recycled in a day.
Hey, Keith and Molly back for another episode of Rome Was Not Recycled in a Day, the podcast that helps you to incorporate recycling more into your daily life.
Yes, we are here to discover more ways to recycle and also stay up to date on the ever-changing recycling world. And we'd love to hear from you listeners.
We would. So if you're wondering how many licks it takes to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop, you can head on over to RomeWasNotRecycledInADay.com and check out our contact form, where we might not be able to help you with that, but we probably can help you figure out what to do with the stick when you're done with it, or maybe the wrapper. either way, it's all about helping you to reduce and reuse and lifestyle changes with this podcast. And in fact, lifestyle changes, Molly, is what we're talking about today, and we have a guest to help us do that.
Yes, we have a very special guest who took it upon herself to challenge herself and her family to change some serious habits. And so they spent 40 days trying to examine and count and eliminate plastic from their lives and their house. So we have Mary Liz Ingram here with us, and she is going to help us simplify this very overwhelming concept of what am I doing, where is this stuff coming from, and then where is it going. So Mary Liz, can you tell us how you even just started with this idea of reducing the amount of plastic in your house?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, we were just kind of looking through how we could be better as a family and try to be more sustainable. And when I started looking at recycling and how so many things were not able to be recycled that I thought you could recycle, and that recycling was kind of stopping all around the nation, I thought there's got to be a different way that I can make a dent in this problem. So we took 40 days to try to give up single-use plastic. I figured in 40 days we could do, you know, pretty much anything. So we can always go back, you know, to normal if we need to. So we started by looking around the house, and I really went from room to room and counted the items of single-use plastic and got up to about 700 in our little tiny house. Wow. And quit.
Wow.
I didn't even count plastic bags or utensils. It was really like shampoo bottles and, you know, the mayonnaise jar and your milk jug. But 700 things. We had 204 plastic utensils, and I was really, really shocked by that. And we have been, you know, trying to recycle and trying to not buy a lot of junk for years, and I still had that much.
Mm.
And I'm guessing the bulk of the plastic was in the kitchen. Is that true?
You know, I was surprised because a lot of it was in the bathroom.
Wow.
If you think through your bathroom, you've got your toothbrush and your floss and your toothpaste and all your shampoos and your soaps and your lotions and your medicines. Like there was a lot in there.
Yeah, we got a whole closet full ourselves. That's a good call.
Wow. Yeah.
So what would, if we were going to break this down into step by step, or to even like, if you were going to break it down into encouragement by encouragement, tell us five things on this episode. What would be the five things you could tell us about your family's journey?
So if I think about things that surprised me, because the step-by-step aspect of it wasn't very hard. We're past a year, of trying to live without single-use plastic as much as possible. And just taking it step by step and forming habits was not terrible. Everybody in my family was on board. We found a lot of things that everybody enjoys that they don't come in plastic. But I was trying to think of, you know, that year and a half journey and what really stands out to me. And I think the first was just being so surprised and shocked by how much plastic we actually use that it is everywhere. You know, it's, you go into the grocery store and you look around and almost everything has plastic on it. And then the second thing is that most changes to be plastic free are really easy. if you get a bamboo toothbrush instead of a plastic one, you haven't really sacrificed anything or made yourself unhappy. Like, the kids thought they were cool because they were made out of wood. The habits just take a little time, like remembering to grab your water bottle when you're going out the door, or use your reusable bag. Like, we went lots of times, you'd walk to the store and you're headed in and then you're like, dang it, I forgot my bag. And you have to turn around and go back and grab them again. Some of the stuff was hard, like training yourself not to use paper towels. When I ran into thinking about paper towels and toilet paper, I was like, well, that's paper, you know, we're fine, but it's all wrapped in plastic. So we tried to just cut down our waste there too. And finding crunchy snacks and dairy, those are two roadblocks that you just really can't find some of that plastic free, at least not in Alabama. You can't get milk in a glass bottle. So another one, a big one, is that we eat a lot better because we're buying vegetables and produce, you know, everything plastic free. You cook it yourself. The kids wanted, you know, cookies and snacks. And I was like, oh, well, that's, you know, a plastic tray wrapped in plastic. So let's see what else we can do. And they started cooking and I didn't make them. They just wanted brownies. And so they'd get in there and Google a recipe. So my 8-year-old, 12-year-old and 14-year-old can make a cake from scratch and their icing and their cookies. And they've started to really enjoy it. I think they kind of feel accomplishment when they're eating their cookie that they just made all by themselves.
Wow. Yeah. It's a lot healthier. Could you send them over here? Maybe that sounds,
I know. Sounds, yeah. Well, when we're done with this, my son's making me a skillet cookie. So they like it now. It's something they can do. And they're like, yeah, well, and I'm like, excellent. I'll go sit over here and wait for my dessert.
And you know everything that's going into it. So
yeah,
you don't have to worry about what strange chemicals you're ingesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All around, the food's better. And you know, you figure out recipes, things you can do that aren't difficult. Like, we make our own bread. And at first I thought, oh my gosh, that's going to be a pain. Like, I'm just going to recycle my bread bag and move on. But, you know, during that 40-day challenge, I was really like, zero plastic. I'm going to do it. And I used my bread machine that I hadn't used in forever. And I timed it one day and it just took me 4 minutes to load it and push the button and go to work. And I was like, that doesn't take long at all.
And then the good smells you come into later so make good. It all worthwhile. Yeah. And I wonder if the pandemic has gotten a lot of folks who hopefully aren't going to the grocery as often as they used to be doing a little more of that baking of the bread. And they haven't even thought about the plastic bags that they're reducing by doing that. And they could take this a step further like you did and save a lot more.
Right. We actually had a lot of people at the beginning of the pandemic ask for recipes. My husband makes good sourdough, like the kind that takes a long time that I don't want to mess with. But he was on the phone lots of different days talking to people, talking them through how to do it. It was a little tricky to find bread flour at the beginning. So I think that shows that people were trying to make some bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the hardest? You've mentioned the milk. You've mentioned some of the shampoos and things like that. What was the hardest thing to try and replace in your life while staying plastic free? Maybe something that you didn't give up altogether, but you found some creative workaround for.
Well, the hardest one, I think, is definitely getting takeout. So, you know, we're making our food and we're trying our best, but we're a family of five. Everybody's in school. My husband and I work. So there's some times when you are like, there is no way I'm cooking dinner and we just need to buy something. And it's really hard to find, to get what you want and have it plastic free. And, you know, we'll do some things like ask for no sauce packets and ask, you know, to not have the utensils, but they always put them in. So you end up with plastic forks and you're like, dang, like, I've gotten rid of these and they're back in here, like sneaky little things. And it's hard, you know, if you're getting takeout for convenience to be easy. And if you really want to be, you know, zero waste and plastic free, you got to take a container into the store and ask them to put it in. Sometimes they're going to say no. And that kind of misses the point of you trying to do a drive through and get your food, you know, just to try to make it that day. So we have definitely, I'll look and see the little stack of the styrofoam clamshells that we're going to go recycle and think, well, I wish you weren't there, but we're just trying to make it that day.
Yeah. Did you find any restaurants that were even just like halfway good for y'all?
Yeah, we can go. It's still tricky. Like, we'll go and get like the Ono Poke, and we'll go in there and they have the, you know, the paper bowls, but it'll usually have a plastic top. So there's all these like give and take. Mm-hmm. And if we go to a restaurant and you go out to eat, I would bring a container for leftovers, and that was fine. And if you forget, like some of them are having the little cardboard containers. We did find that if you really want to be plastic free and get takeout, some of the fast food places you can. We go Taco Bell, and we haven't been to Taco Bell, and I don't think my kids had had it. And they were like, what is this? Why won't you ever take us here? And we got, you know, you can get a taco party pack, and it's in a, they're all in paper, and it's in a cardboard container.
Perfect.
But you're eating fast food.
Yeah.
You know, it might be the first time I've ever said three cheers for Taco Bell.
I know. I was like, I just get a taco party pack and I say, no sauce, please. And then you're plastic free. When my kids use that excuse, they'll be like, but mom, if we get Taco Bell, it's plastic free. Or take us get ice cream. We can get a cone and it's plastic free. Like, they know these little tricks.
Work in the system.
Yeah. You know, another one that's hard is, like I said, was dairy. It's really, we used to eat a lot of cheese. And that is so hard to find, not in a plastic bag or a plastic wrapper or a plastic container. And I went to Whole Foods and finally got the nerve up to go talk to the people at the cheese counter about it. And I'm a big introvert, so going to super like stand out and be weird was hard. But I took a big breath. You know, my cheeks were probably red, and they actually wrote a list of what kind of cheese they cut on which day. So if I wanted to get cheese with no plastic and definitely reducing that waste, I could go on the day, like Thursday, they're cutting cheddar, and they would cut me a piece and wrap it in paper. But, you know, I was going to try that one time, but it's still that balance. Like, I have a family, you know, we have a job, and I can't run over to Whole Foods on Thursdays and get the slice of cheese I want.
Right.
So we just try to be smart and try to, if I do have to get something in plastic, I'll get like the biggest bag of it. So then you've got more, you know, if you can get it in the bulk, you get it more in that one bag instead of a bunch of little bags.
And you probably still feel guilty walking in the house with plastic, but
or
you did
like
the best
worried,
you could.
Yeah, worried somebody could see me and be like, hey, I thought you were plastic free. What's that bag in the grocery cart there? You know, when we're talking about eating better and cooking, that is one way I tried to fix the problem with the dairy and plastic, because I know for a fact they recycle that milk jug. You know, it's a number two plastic. It's going to be made into something new. So I can use that, and I could make yogurt that would be in a number five container, or I can make sour cream that would come in the number five. You know, the ones that are a little more difficult to recycle, you can kind of substitute by getting something easily recyclable and find some easy recipes that aren't going to take all day.
And I was going to ask you that, because I was wondering, and I suspect our listeners are too, what you ended up doing for the milk. So you did go ahead and just strike a balance there and say, okay, I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to buy this highly recyclable plastic jug of milk, and I'm going to make sure that it gets properly recycled, just because that's one place that I can compromise a little and know I'm still not cheating the environment big time.
Right. Yeah. Cause that otherwise you can get it in the carton, which actually Molly and I went through these discussions early on, because I had called to find out if I could recycle the carton, and somebody said yes. And so I was like, excellent. Those are paper. They only have a little plastic. But then I found out we actually couldn't recycle the paper cartons. And so I did, if I'm going to have milk, it's going to be in that plastic. And if we do get to a place where you can't avoid it, where you either don't have it, or you can choose a plastic, then I always choose one that's the most recyclable.
Right. Right. That's good.
This is so helpful. And just you saying I'm choosing the plastic that's the most recyclable as I'm trying to eliminate it completely, like, it's just really hard to get your head around the whole concept, but to have a little bit of grace as we make these tiny changes in our lives. As I'm thinking back on everything you said that y'all are eating better. It was hard to find good crunchy snacks that were not in plastic. Dairy is difficult, but you found a solution with cheese at Whole Foods and that they were kind about that. Have you done that in this pandemic? Have you gone to get cheddar on Thursdays?
The pandemic definitely gave us a big smack. Right at the beginning, you know, you are limiting your grocery trips. You can't take your reusable bags in a lot of places. You can't pop over to Starbucks with your mug because they don't want your dirty cup.
Right.
So we were having to buy whatever we could get, you know, like everybody, you go in there and you need meat. You're going to get what's there. And, you know, I'm sending Steven to the store, staying home with the kids, and you go to one that's close. It's not going to be crowded. You know, before the pandemic, we would kind of shop around. We would have our day. We'd go to Whole Foods and, you know, your leisurely walk around getting your stuff, saying hi to people. The pandemic comes, you know, and everybody's like head down with your mask on, like just trying to get your food and get out of there. So that has been strange. And at first I felt guilty. And I think that did add to some of the stress of the pandemic because we had been living this way. And then our habits were broken because you couldn't do it temporarily. And I kind of felt, you know, a little lost for a second. You know, with the plastic bags and stuff coming in, like we hadn't had them in a year and a half. And all of a sudden you've got, you know, they send you so many if you're at the store. Like you can use your 3 reusable bags, but they're going to give you 20 plastic bags. Right. And we found ways to reuse those and sharing things and trying to make sure they're not just garbage or recycling when we need to. But that the pandemic has definitely increased, I think, the amount of disposables that we're having to use and the amount of plastic coming into our house. And now that it's, you know, I guess we all feel like we can, you know, we're getting a handle on the situation, at least mentally, you know, that I'm not as freaked out by going to the store. Can take a little more time to think about what you're getting again. But it did definitely kind of we took a hit.
Yeah, I can totally see how with all the craziness going on right now, this has become that much more challenging for you all. And that's just what makes it all the more awesome, in my opinion, that you all have still managed to figure out ways to make this work, figure out what you can make work and what you can't while still staying safe and keeping others safe. And I think just doing the best you can. It's not about perfection. It's about doing what you can and figuring out what does and doesn't work. And that's what this whole podcast is about. We're going to talk more next time with Mary Liz about the Cleanup Project USA, which is what has come out of this amazing 40 days and far beyond of living without plastic. So we hope you'll join us for that. We hope in the meantime you see what you can do one step at a time with lifestyle changes and maybe eliminating plastic from your life. But don't get overwhelmed doing it. Reduce, reuse, recycle, but relax. Because Rome was not recycled in a day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Production of Moose Crossing Studios.